with the house of Israel and the house of Judah and all of you. It will not be like the old covenant. It will be something new. I will write the law of the Lord on your hearts. This radical word is, I think, at the root of the Reformation. Most of you, I think, probably know the story about Martin Luther. You know the story about how this new church, well, not quite so new anymore, but this new movement began. So often we link the Reformation with lots of things. But I love this text in Jeremiah, that there is something powerful about this new covenant being made, that we begin to learn something new and radical from God. This last week, I got to hear a story about that radical nature of the church from Bishop Yvetta Flunders. She is the pastor and a bishop of a kind of mixed denomination, interesting group of people in San Francisco. She's about this tall, African-American woman, absolutely amazing to listen to her speak, and she told this story about their Reformation challenge. Her church is located on Folsom Street in San Francisco. If you've ever been to San Francisco, you know that Folsom Street is kind of an interesting place. And in fact, every year on Folsom Street, they have the Folsom Street Parade. Anybody know about that parade? Anyone brave enough to talk about it, Scott?
It's a little inappropriate for some ages.
I don't know. There's a bunch of pretty old men running around in leather at that thing. I don't think it's about ages. It's essentially... It's just a freedom festival. We'll just call it that. Well, that parade goes right by their church. So one Sunday, Bishop Flunders was at the front of the church getting ready for what she needed to do. And one of the ushers came sort of hustling up the center aisle. And they said, "Pastor, there's a situation." So that's usher speak for everything has suddenly exploded. So Bishop Flunders said, "Fine," and she walked back to the back of the church, and there standing by the doors was a man in full Native American regalia. Full headdress, feather headdress, leather shirt, loincloth covering the front, drafty in the back. Somebody over there likes that outfit. So, of course, she welcomed him, and she said, "Well, let me help you to your seat." Now, there being no covering on the back, of course, this is, you know, it's a bunch of Christian people. And so she escorted him up the aisle. And she said to us, "Now, you understand, I wear a robe when I worship." And she said, "So I ushered him up the aisle, and then I just sort of walked behind him the entire way." And she said, "And when we got up to the very front pew, I had him sit with me in the front pew, and we sat down, and the service began, and I got up to do my things, but then the hymns came." And she said, "And you know, we stand for our hymns." And she said, "So he stood up, and I stood behind him, and I just sang that hymn. And then we sat down." So this continued through the whole service. And at the end of the service, she said, "I thanked him for being a part of our worship for the day, and I escorted him back down the aisle." Her church professes radical grace and radical welcome. The next week, the same man showed up, dressed in a suit. And she went up to him and she asked him, "So, what's the deal?" And he said, "Well, you all say that you welcome everyone. I just wanted to see if it was true." Bishop Flinders leaned over and said, "How did we do?" And he said, "I'm here, aren't I?" She made a choice that day that that church had made for a very long time. That God's radical grace is extended to every person. Even when they come to try and upset you or challenge you or maybe pull you out of your comfort zone, she said, we find ourselves being called to that radical grace of God every day. I thought to myself, how many Lutheran congregations would have had a collective conniption when that happened. And I thought to myself about all of you, and I wondered if you would have even noticed. You see, when God makes that new covenant, we become set free from the old ways, from our old conceptions about God that draw us into tight little circles about how we're supposed to behave and who's acceptable, who can be a part of the community and who cannot. In that radical covenant of new grace that God makes with the people of Israel and with us, we are called to a covenant of love. A love so deep that Jesus says, look, this love of God is so deep that it will set you free. Free. Jesus says to those who had gathered around him, if you continue in my word and you are my disciples, the truth will make you free. Well, the truth is that we all sin and we fall short of the glory of God, as Paul says. The problem is that we just can't convince ourselves, for the most part, that God loves us anyway. That radical grace and God's love, we can accept that God has that for other people, but so often we really have a difficult time applying it to ourselves, to our community, to our church. And so we persist in our old habits. We persist in the old covenant that says that we need to act a certain way or be a certain way, be a certain color or sexuality or personality in order to be acceptable to God. We resist any change or any challenge that might push us off the center that we have made for ourselves. It's our nature. Some have said in the past that for Lutherans, it is our very being. I love the old chestnut, how do you get Lutherans to change? You know what the answer is? Change? But if God is doing a new thing and making with us a new covenant, then it seems clear to me that we need to begin to embrace this love of God, this new truth, this new covenant that Paul makes so clear. That though we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we are justified by God through faith and not by works. The truth is that God loves you and me and all of God's creation without reserve, and without condition. The truth is that God loves each one of us and God's creation without reserve and without condition. Our color, our abilities, our political position, everything that we hold so dear to keep dividing us up means nothing in this new covenant. We are all loved. The tricky part, the hard part, is then learning to love each other. To live out that radical covenant of grace in Jesus Christ in meaningful ways. It was a simple thing that day in Bishop Flunder's church. It was a simple thing that she had figured out some way to get that man into worship, to worship Jesus Christ without offending too many people. All it took was a little dance that she did with him through the service. A little dance that brought dignity and grace and welcome. I think God calls us to that same radical grace. Not just to welcome people into worship, but to be welcoming in our whole life. In a world and in a time where there is so little welcome, so little understanding, so little in the ways of connections and hope and joy and dignity, God sets us free, truly free, to be love. If this church of Martin Luther from 500 years ago is going to mean anything at all, then it seems to me we need to continue to practice that same radical reformation, that same radical sense of love for the world, because God knows the world needs it. Jeremiah says, look, the Lord says, I am making with you a new covenant, and it will not be like the old one. And you are the people of that covenant of love. So let us live our life with radical grace to embrace and to carry and to share with one another the truth of God, God's love. Amen.